IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints with me, Atta, the host of this program. I have two special guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom for today's discussion, Sister Zainab and Sheikh Rouhani. Sheikh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Sister Zainab, assalamu alaikum to you.
Wa alaikum assalam.
What role did women play in turning tragedy into eternal legacy? This is a major question for today. We know that after the tragedy of Karbala, there were so many captives, and they were taken from Karbala to Damascus, which was the main palace and the court of Yazid ibn Muawiyah. Now, among these captives were major women and children. Imam al-Sajjad felt sick by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be kept alive, to be next to Imam. But Lady Zainab al-Kubra was the leading woman of the captives of her time. Really, really difficult times, okay? Because you cannot believe it, that you are the granddaughter of Prophet Muhammad, the founder of Islam, and now you are taken as a captive through this and that city, sometimes on foot, sometimes on camel, in the hot weather, long, long way from Iraq to Syria. Sister Zainab, she made resistance on that time, and she was really the voice of the Ahlul Bayt in the court of Yazid. But she made this legacy going on and going on. In fact, they believe that Zainab al-Kubra is the guardian of the legacy of Hussein, okay? So without Zainab, the message of Karbala maybe would not reach here and there. That was the role that a woman might play on that time. I'll be happy with you, yourself as a woman, just telling me a little bit about the role that Lady Zainab played on that time.
Obviously, maybe I'll start off by saying that. So before I even start talking about this particular role, I'll just mention that the fact that there's a Christian lady, she's an academic or a scholar, and she was once asked to talk about Lady Zainab. And what I remember, I don't remember her exact words other than her saying, "What can I say about Lady Zainab?" And she started weeping for Lady Zainab. So the role of Lady Zainab is so huge that even non-Muslims who are a little bit aware of what she did are so profoundly affected by both her personality and the role she played in that time. So obviously, after the martyrdom of Imam Hussein and many of his family and his companions in Karbala, obviously Lady Zainab, in a sense, took on the role of a sort of leader. So she was the person, yes, obviously, who had to console everyone, all the sort of the children and women, wow, and who were sort of left, who was survived, because obviously before they left, being taken prisoner and being dragged to Damascus, basically, that horrible route, and not really being given, I think, they had camels possibly, but I don't think they were even allowed to use proper saddles. It would have been very uncomfortable.
Very uncomfortable.
And obviously, some of the large group were also martyred, of course. But she had to take on the role. She took on the role of being the one who would lead and console. And so obviously, we are aware that she would have had profound grief, obviously, because she saw so many members of her family slaughtered. And then she saw, obviously, so many members of the family, obviously they had to escape from the burning tents. And then she saw them also being chained, literally being taken captive, being abused. And still, in a sense, she kept the grief inside because obviously she had to be the strong one. Mm-hmm. And obviously this is a role that maybe some people try to downplay a little bit outside of Islam, because sometimes people think, oh, you know, women don't, you know, maybe women aren't that strong. Well, this woman, Lady Zainab, must have also been very strong physically.
Yes.
Because she survived this long march towards Damascus in, as you mentioned, I think, very bad conditions.
Okay.
And then obviously she had a very, let's say, a political role Because then, so apart from being the, let's say, as you think, it, sometimes she's called the matriarch. So she's the matriarch who had to look after everyone, gather them together, keep them going, keep them motivated, hear their grief, console them. And then she had this big political role. When she got to Damascus, she had to then bring the message of what had happened to sort of inform people at the court of Yazid, inform people in Damascus what had happened. And obviously, in the beginning, I think maybe Yazid the tyrant, who had obviously had them taken captive and chained and dragged to Damascus, probably didn't understand what was about to happen. But as soon as she opened her mouth, people were shocked because she had, was so eloquent and so precise in how she spoke and in how she narrated the events, that people were horrified that this had been done to the family of the Holy Prophet.
Yes. A memorizer of the Holy Quran, they say that in the court of Yazid, she referred as many times as possible to the text of the Holy Quran, the ayahs of the Holy Quran. Even some of the counselors of Yazid who were around him somehow were shocked that how is it possible a lady talk this way. She was called Aghilatul Bani Hashim. Aghila means the most knowledgeable, okay? So now she's talking and, you know, even up to an extent that Yazid decided to kill her. But they posed, we can't say him, and said, okay, do not kill the woman in the court or something. That would be very bad for you. Even before, I want to get a little bit of a flashback, Sheikh Rouhani, now. Before she becomes the leading role of the captives, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam used to tell his secrets into the ears of Zainab.
Yes, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Since now we are talking about the role of great ladies in the history of Islam, particularly in the history of the Shayu, I think let me remind our audience of Lady Khadija salamullahi alayha, the grandmother of Lady Zainab. You know, mother is very significant, is very important.
Yes, in nurturing the child.
Exactly.
Yes.
If you have a hint as your grandmother, you will have Yazid as the grandson.
Come on, let's coin it.
If you,
okay.
If you have Khadija as grandmother, you will have Hussein and Zainab.
Very good.
You know, this is the role of mother and mothership in Islam. You know, Khadija sacrificed all his properties for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of Islam. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved this lady to the extent that whenever, wherever he was reminded of Khadija, he showed the highest level of respect and honor to Lady Khadija.
Yes.
You know, because it was Khadija who established Islam by the sword of Ali and the properties and wealth,
and the wealth
of, Khadija.
Of Khadija.
Islam established.
Wow.
You know, this is the role of Khadija, salamullahi alayha. And then from Khadija, you have Lady Zahra, salamullahi alayha. Look at the sermons of Lady Zahra, salamullahi alayha. Look at the speeches presented by her. Look at the role played by this great mother of A'imma, alayhim as-salatu was-salam. You know? Then it reminds us of Zahra. When you see Zainab, you see Zahra. You see Khadija. You see? These are the great ladies in the history of Islam that sometimes, unfortunately, we forget them. You know?
Okay.
While without these ladies, we didn't have Islam. We would have not been Muslims without these ladies. We owe to these ladies.
Islam is not a masculine religion.
Exactly.
Okay.
Of
something
course.
That is believed of by course. So many people outside
exactly.
religion of Islam.
We cannot say that the role played by Lady Zahra was less than, in terms of value, to the role played by Amir al-Mu'mineen. You know?
Okay.
That the role played by Lady Zainab was not less than the role of Hussein. You know? In terms of values.
Yes.
Because it was Zainab who survived, who saved, who revived Tashayyu and Islam, and the true Islam and the true Muhammadan Islam. So that is why
she was not a masoom, okay?
She was not a masoom.
But the case is that Imam al-Hussein
played.
In the way from Medina to Karbala, There are on different occasions and stations that Hussein stops.
Yes.
Goes to the tent of Lady Zainab and talk to her.
Yes.
Some of them are recorded. I really ask my dear listeners to go and check out these conversations between brother and sister, okay? And you cannot believe it that divine realm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is shown to Zainab by Hussein, okay?
Yes. Yes.
So such a person must be capacitated enough to, we can say, be given such big messages. Even the future is shown to Zainab by Hussein ibn Ali.
Yes.
So
you know what does Zainab means?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Zainatu Ab,
yeah.
It means that Imam Ali himself honors Lady Zainab, that she is an honor for Amir al-Mu'mineen.
Yes.
She is... What is that? Zina.
Zina means embellishment.
Embellishment.
Something you are honored by,
exactly.
You are proud of.
Exactly.
Yes.
So this is the name was given to Lady Zainab by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know? So that is why I think whenever we talk about these great ladies, we should not forget the role played by all these ladies. We are now in the holy city of Qum. Sometimes we should remind ourselves of the role played by Lady Ma'asuma, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Yes, very important.
You know?
Very important, that's
because,
right.
Because, you know, Ma'mun al-Abbasi was really fearful when he heard that Fatimatul Ma'asuma, this great scholarly lady, is going to approach Tus and Khurasan.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was really, really scholarly lady.
Yes.
We know that in Rawayat that when sometimes some people refer to Imam al-Musa al-Kadhim, alayhi salatu wasalam, saying that when we asked Lady Fatimatul Ma'asuma some questions, and she answered this way, Imam al-Kazim confirmed completely, saying that Fadaha Abuha, this is the term used by Imam al-Kazim about Lady Ma'asuma, that say that whatever she said is correct, completely correct. So this lady, when she was approaching towards Khurasan, Ma'mun al-Abbasi did not let her to came to Khurasan. Because if she came together with Imam Rida, they could guide all the people, men and women, in Khurasan.
Wow.
You see, that's why, unfortunately, the conspiracy...
Yes. One of the theories against, that she was martyred.
Yes.
She
that's
got
why
sick.
They stopped.
Yes, that was where she
and
stopped.
And look at the lady of Hakima Khatun.
Wow.
Another and look at lady. The lady, mother of the Imam al-Asr wa Hunafida.
Yes.
Mother of Aimmas, you know, sometimes we should talk about them.
Yes.
They are really, really great.
Khayzuran, you know, the mother of Imam al-Jawad.
Well, they were non-Arabs. Most of them were non-Arabs.
From Morocco, from African countries.
Only mother
Sudan.
Of Imam Hassan, mother of Imam Hussein, and mother of Imam al-Baqir. They are Arabs. But the rest not.
Okay. But they're Persian?
They are of the great personalities.
Yes. Shahrabanu is from Persia.
Yeah.
The rest are
mother
from...
Mother of Imam al-Sadiq, Imam al-Qadhi, Imam Rida, Imam al-Hadi, Imam al-Naqi. All of them are non-Arabs.
Mm-hmm.
From Morocco, some of them from Africa.
The mother of Imam al-Zaman, Roman.
Yeah, of Rome.
Yeah, she was from Rome.
But they are really great personalities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not only Zainab, not only Zahra, salamullah.
So this is a heritage.
All the mothers of Aimmas are like this.
Yeah.
They played really great roles.
Yes.
In the history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the wife of Imam al-Sadiq was such a great lady that Imam al-Sadiq appointed her as one of his what? His caliphs.
Oh.
You see?
Oh, am I the six caliphs that were selected? One of them was...
Among them was one of these, Umm Hamida.
Yes, yes, yes.
Umm Hamida, the wife of Imam al-Sadiq. She was of such a great personality.
To be the successor.
That deserved to be appointed as the caliph of the Imam.
Wow.
But unfortunately, sometimes when we look at the history of Islam, we ignore these great roles played by these great ladies.
And look how the religion of Islam is shown and portrayed in terms of the rights of the women out of Islam, you know?
Now look, many of the very meaningful and beautiful ahadith narrated from Imam al-Sadiq, they are narrated through Umm Hamida, mother of Imam al-Kadhim.
Okay, that's it. Thank you. Thank you, Shaykh.
الله أكبر جبتني الكربلة خويا يا حسين دشوف العائلة الله أكبر جبتني الكربلة خويا يا حسين دشوف العائلة والأبطال موذرة
كلها صار على الثرى والأبطال موذرة كلها صار على الثرى برض كرب وبلا برض كرب وبلا الله أكبر جبتني كربلا خويا.
Let's get back to Lady Zainab. There is a Persian poem which says that Karbala dar Karbala mimond agar Zainab nabud. If there was no Zainab, the message of Karbala will be buried in Karbala, okay? So the role that she had in safeguarding the legacy of Imam al-Hussein was really, really outstanding. When she is getting into the court of Yazid and when she is asked that, how did you find it? Talk for us about the tragedy. They wanted to degrade and belittle her. She said, Ma ra'aytu illa jamila. I found nothing but beauty. You miss all your family members, your brothers, you know. That's right, your sons over there. And your comrades are over there. And you took all this way. And you saw nothing but beauty. And this sentence remains for history, going on up until the day of judgment, inshallah. Let's be a little bit concerned about safeguarding the legacy of Hussein by Zainab, Sister Zainab.
Yes, I'm just going to pick up on this point. Obviously, this particular phrase that she saw nothing but beauty, because this is actually something I've come across in one of our more recent martyrs. But I'll just say something about it. So if I were to sort of explain maybe one aspect, talk about one aspect, something that strikes me is this is one way, one kind of expression of tawheed, an absolute love and submission to Allah.
Very good.
So it's total detachment from everything in this world. And I'm going to go from what Lady Zainab said to something that one of the more recent martyrs in the Islamic Republic of Iran, Dr. Chamran, said. So his wife, for example, once found him just over, this is when they were in Lebanon and it was being bombarded by the Zionists at that point. And she found her husband just outside, just overlooking the landscape. The sun was setting into the ocean and he was weeping. And she asked him, what's wrong? What's going on? And he said, and she was expecting him to say he was grieving just the suffering of the people. And he said, it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. So there is a level to which the most pure-hearted,
yes,
the most knowledgeable, the yes, ones who have this light, they reach to such a level that everything else falls away from them. So they do only see beauty around them because they really gain that proximity to Allah.
Okay.
So and of course, this sort of confirms this point that you're also making, that she was so knowledgeable.
Yes.
And that's the thing. So the pure heart, even though she wasn't infallible, her heart was... must have been so pure,
yes,
that obviously she was receptive to knowledge, because we know also that if our heart is a little bit corrupted, we cannot receive knowledge.
Yes,
and that's why we see people, for example, in the Zionist entity and some Western scholars, they try to understand Islam and they try to understand it. It's to no avail.
Mm-hmm.
They do not understand. And then we've got someone like Lady Zainab,
yes,
that pure heart.
Okay.
And she... what had the level of knowledge, as
yes,
you say, that even the other imams should reach to that level, basically.
That's right. She was the taker of Imam al-Sajjad, you know? So the line of Imamet is indebted to Lady Zainab, okay? Because he was sick.
Let me add one point here.
Very good.
You have that time.
Two minutes, that's right.
Yeah, you talked about the taking care of Imam al-Sajjad. But there's a very beautiful hadith from Salman al-Farsi, rahmatullahi alayhi.
Very good.
He said, once I went to Amir al-Mu'mineen's house, at those time that Lady Zahra passed away, and I saw Amir al-Mu'mineen was sitting inside the room, and Hassan and Hussein was like children around the Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen. And Amir al-Mu'mineen was really sad. It was really sorrowful kind of experience for Amir al-Mu'mineen. Salman says that I saw Zainab at that situation and at that condition. She was exactly like a mother, like a strong mother for Hassan and Hussein, and also for Amir al-Mu'mineen.
All right.
The small girl was caring, was taking care of Amir al-Mu'mineen and Hassan and Hussein.
Umm Abiha.
Yeah, this Umm Abiha that was used by the Prophet for Ladies Zahra.
Yes.
Here, Salman says that I saw exactly that the same role was played by the daughter of Zahra at this moment. That Salman says that I saw that how strong heart this small daughter of Ali had.
Wow.
That in that sorrowful kind of situation, she was taking care of her father and her
brothers. That's right.
It shows that Zainab from the very childhood was Zainab, was the hero.
She was nurtured this way.
Exactly.
And according to other documents and authentic references, Imam Ali alayhi salam, when he was in deathbed, has informed Zainab about what will happen to Imam al-Hussein and said that be ready and prepare yourself for such a day because you are the main taker of Hussein ibn Ali on that day. Umm Abiha, the mother of the father. That's right. Really beautiful. Thank you. Thank you very much, Sheikh Rouhani and Sister Zainab, for a nice elaboration regarding the role that Lady Zainab and the other Muslim ladies played in turning tragedy into internal legacy in the history of Islam. It was very kind of you. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Viewpoints. Please, for more information, visit our website, iranradio.ir. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Karbala, why do you hold such memories? Ashura, always full of mysteries.
IRIB English Radio. Please follow our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir.
Starts with morning. Muharram is a beginning. The season's tears are flowing. Our Imam, we are condoned.